We are celebrating the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for us and is resurrected for us. Let me say this. This is the greatest good news that has ever been proclaimed. The death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest event that has ever taken place in history. And let me say that is true whether it is recognized or whether it is not recognized. The death of Jesus Christ, God coming to earth and dwelling among us, and then God choosing to take the punishment for our sins, that is the greatest historical event in history. What I want to look at today is how do we react? How do people react to this greatest historical event? What are the reactions to the cross? How do people react to the cross of Jesus Christ? What I want us to do this morning is look at four different people or groups of people who stood at the very foot of the cross. And by looking at these four people, we will see four different reactions. And I want us to do a time of self-examination and say, what is my reaction to, as we look at the cross of Jesus? Reaction number one. We're going to look at the reaction of the two thieves. One on his left, one on his right. We get the best recording of this, not in the Gospel of John, which we read earlier, but in the Gospel of Luke. Let me read from Luke chapter 23. Two other men, both of them criminals, were also led out to be put to death with Jesus. One of the criminals, hanging there, hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." The other one, however, rebuked him, saying, "Don't you fear God? You receive the same sentence he did. Ours, however, is only right, because we are getting what we deserve for what we did. But he has done no wrong." And he said to Jesus, "Remember me, Jesus, when you come as king." And Jesus said to him, "I promise you that today you will be in paradise with me." These two men were, of course, in the greatest crisis of their lives. And we see in our text two different reactions to the crisis that they were undergoing. The one said to Jesus, and he mocked Jesus. He cursed Jesus. The other one received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. That one heard these wonderful words, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Every single person here will go through crisis in life. Some may be in crisis at this very moment. And here's the question. How will you react to the crisis that is taking place in your life? Will you react with anger and blame? How could God let this happen to me? Or will we react with looking to God for strength? Will we choose the path of the one thief who looked to Jesus and said, "You are my Lord and my Savior"? When we face crisis, what will be our reaction? Reaction number two. We will look at the high priest that stood at the foot of the cross. From our text, verses 20 through 21. Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Don't write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews." By the way, Pilate had had enough with these guys. He said, "I have written what I have written." Understand that for these chief priests, they were acting according to their law. Because of the base of their lives, which was strict Judaism, they were acting correctly. In their mind, anyone who was blasphemous, Anyone who claimed to be God, and Jesus claimed to be God, let there be no doubt about it. Jesus claimed and is God. With that base, death was the sentence. But the problem was this. They had the wrong base in life. You see, we must remember this truth. Our Lord God is more concerned with why we do things than what we do. When we stand before the very judgment throne of God, and we all will, when we stand before the judgment throne of God, he would not look so much at a list of what we have done. He will look at a list of why we have acted in the way that we have acted. He will look at our motives. And every time we act, even now as we walk on this earth, our Lord God knows our motives, why we are doing things. An example, an illustration. We are sitting here in church this morning. Why? What was the motive to have you get up this Easter morning and come to church? Some motives. Are you here trying to earn your way to heaven? Getting, you know, enough brownie points so that when you die, you will go to heaven? We all know that's ridiculous. We know that's impossible. No one can be good enough to get to heaven. By our own actions, every single person deserves to be separated from God. We know this. We've been looking at the Ten Commandments through the book of Exodus. And we know this. I mean, the one commandment, thou shalt not kill, but we saw the words of Jesus. If you so much as look at a person with anger, you have murdered that person. Just to make sure a raise of hands. Raise your hand, you ready? How many here have ever been angry at somebody else? You murderers. You murderers. I mean, we laugh, but that's true, right? If you so much as look, in other words, and we won't even get into that, you know, that adultery one and the lust that Jesus talked about, or honoring mothers and fathers and all of them. All of them. The truth is this. We all break the Ten Commandments all the time. Good news. Good news. We are saved by grace. It's nothing we earn. It is a gift given to us by God. So we don't come to church because we're trying to earn good points with God. Why do we come to church? Because we love to be with a person whom we love. And we love Jesus. And we can be with him in a unique way. We can worship him in a way that we can only do in a body of believers as we come to church and worship him. That's our motive. Our motive is because we desire to be in his presence and in the presence of brothers and sisters in Christ. Why do you come to church? Is it because of obligation? Is it because you feel it's your duty to come to church? Obligation is not a motive that God honors. I have had opportunities to, you know, in marriage counseling. And I will ask one of the often is the husband and says, why are you still in this marriage? Because, and his answer will be, because it's the right thing to do. That's a horrible answer. That's a horrible answer. He's still married because it's his obligation. Now, it's true. Obviously, we've said vows, but it is an obligation. But we all know we want marriage to be far more than an obligation. We want it to be a unity of oneness in love. Why are you in church right now? Is it out of habit? Now, I won't ask for a show of hands on this, but if you've ever sat in the same pew before, habit? Is it just habit? Is it the right thing to do, and that's what we do on Sunday morning out of habit? What is the motive for coming to church today? Or is it out of the motive of the desire to praise God and worship? To worship the Lord God who became man, who died on a cross, who is alive and resurrected from the dead. To worship God. God knows your motive. Right now, in every action that we take, at work, at school, in our homes, God knows our motive. And that is how he judges us, by motive. We need the right base. Many of you have children or grandchildren. Once in a while, we take my grandchildren out for breakfast or for a meal. I have grandchildren who are, if I can get this right, 7, 5, 3, 3, 1, 1. Two different families, two different children. And sometimes, I know your kids are perfect, but sometimes after you've ordered your meals, the kids get a little bit antsy sitting around waiting. And so you have to find things for them to do. Thank goodness they have these little things of creamers. Right? And so you start stacking creamers or sugar or anything that's on the table. And one thing you learn very quickly, and you teach to your children very quickly, is you can't have a triangle upside down. You can't start with one or two and try to build. You need a base. You need 5 or 6 or 7 and go up and up and up to have the base to build the pyramid. That's true in our lives. We need the base. The very root of our lives needs to be our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the base. Reaction number 3. We'll look at the soldiers from our text, verse 23 through 24. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, divided them into 4 shares, 1 for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. The garment was seamless, woven from one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened so that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, "They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." So this is what the soldiers did. Picture the scene. Jesus and the 2 thieves were being crucified. Were hanging from the cross on this hill. And what did the soldiers do? They played craps. They had dice. They were playing craps. They were gambling. They were ignoring the event. The greatest event that ever took place in history. Ever. And they were there. And they totally ignored it. Isn't that also like the world we live in today? The greatest event that ever took place, and the vast majority of the world are not in church this morning. The vast majority of the world are totally ignoring the event of Easter. Totally ignoring it. We must see that Christ died for us. For so many people, Jesus just doesn't fit into their schedule. For so many people, Jesus doesn't fit into their lifestyle. So they choose to ignore it. That's their reaction to the cross. Reaction number 4, final reaction, Mary Magdalene. Her reaction was one of love. Her reaction was knowing that she was a forgiven sinner. It's funny, Mary Magdalene. We probably know more about Mary Magdalene than we do about most characters in scriptures. Of the 12 disciples, Peter, John, we may know more about 2 of the disciples. We know more about Mary than we probably know of 9 or 10 of the disciples. We know, for example, and this is Luke chapter 7, I believe, that Mary had a demon and had the demon cast out from her. We know from Luke, I believe it's chapter 8, that Mary had an occupation before she came to Christ. Mary was a prostitute. And she came to Jesus. And Jesus forgave her sins. And think about this about Mary. Mary never abandoned Jesus. Jesus went on the Via Dolorosa, the way of the cross. All of his disciples abandoned him. Every single one of them abandoned Jesus. But who was walking with Jesus on the path to Golgotha? Mary. As Jesus was hung on the cross, as his hands were being pounded into the cross, who stood at the foot of that hill? Mary. Because she knew that she was a forgiven sinner. She knew that this man hanging on the cross loved her and cared for her. And 3 days later, on Easter morning, the disciples were hiding in the room, afraid of being arrested. Who went to the tomb that Easter morning? Mary. Who was the one who saw the rock rolled away? Mary. Who spoke to the resurrected Jesus first? Mary. The one who loved Jesus. The one who refused to abandon Jesus. The one who knew that she was a forgiven sinner. The one who refused to stop worshiping this man who is our Lord and God. Mary. Her reaction to the cross was faithfulness and loyalty and love. Is that our reaction to the cross? A final illustration. Let us say you drive home and you're going down Mar Road and you're going 55 miles per hour. Shame, shame. And you are pulled over by a policeman. And the policeman says, "You're speeding." And you just, "Yeah." You know, and you say, "Yeah." But the policeman says, "It's Easter Sunday. I won't give you a ticket today." Who would be appreciative of that? Yeah. Let's say you get home and you have an argument with a neighbor. And in the argument, you push him over. He falls over, hits his head on the ground, and dies. All right? You're arrested. You stand before the judge. It'll be a few months down the line. Did you do this act? Yes, I did this act. Are you guilty of involuntary manslaughter? Yes, I'm guilty of involuntary manslaughter. Then the judge says, "You are guilty." The sentence is 10 years in prison. And then the judge says, "But I choose to serve them in place of you. I choose to take your punishment." Who would you be more appreciative of? The policeman who let you out of that speeding ticket, or the judge who is serving 10 years in prison, or the Lord God who died on the cross to take our punishment? Are we speeding ticket Christians? Or do we understand the very sacrifice that God did for you and for me? Do we, like Mary, say, "I will not abandon you"? Do we, like Mary, say, "I will follow you to the very cross, and I will be with you in the empty tomb. I will talk and speak and be in the presence of the resurrected Lord God"? What is your reaction to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is your reaction to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? He is not dead. He is alive. He is not absent. He is present. He is not aloof. He is loving. What is your reaction to our Lord Jesus? I will close in prayer. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. As we look upon the cross, we remember your sacrifice. Forgive me, forgive all of us for our times of indifference. Forgive us and forgive me for times of just getting on with life and forgetting about your love. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you're always with us. Hallelujah. You are alive. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.